would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. Gospel of John and chapter 8. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we are always privileged to hear, to understand, to be able to have the benefit of light and truth in order that we might cope rightly with right and wrong. So God, deal with us according to your good pleasure. Take thy word and help. Help us to think and rethink, to learn, to relearn, to unlearn. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, I would remind you again of that John's assignment as a penman is to bring forth all of the benefit of all of history, all of the Old Testament, New Testament, all of history up to just almost 100 A.D. And what's it all about? It's all about God. God isn't going to say any more after Revelation. Don't add or subtract. Not going to say any more. So God, John's assignment is to give us a summation, a condensation, as it were, condensing it all down, so that we can understand who you are, God. It's all about you, your wonderful person. And so the Gospel of John is written. And as you know, in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his wonderful, wonderful person who is full of grace and truth. Now, so here in the Gospel of John, as we proceeded, the Lord, the unfolding of the wonderful outworking here of all people in the world that could contest God, that could debate God, that could go against God and say God isn't God. It would be Israel. God took Israel and used them as he came to them. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He used Israel. So Israel is going to be used as he outworks the testimony of who he is. And so all the arguments and all this, everything that you could throw against God, not being who he is, not being able to do what he does, they all disappear. And God comes out a wonderful winner, always a winner. So now, here we are, another case at point. And remember, they have brought the woman in adultery, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And they really wasn't the woman at all. They were trying to have a reason to stone him, trying to get him to violate the law, to try to do something, to have an excuse, to have a charge to level against him. And so they tried to do all that. And after taking care of the woman and doing that, as we shared, 1 through 11, then in verse 12 we shared together, then he spake again. Remember now, he's in verse 20. These words, 8:20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. That's the court. Remember, this is the court of the Gentiles. And then you go step up the steps, the court of the women. That's the main court where they go. And then if you go up some more steps, there's the court of the priest. That's where the altar, brazen altar, is in that. And the women don't go there unless they had a sacrifice. So there they are. So the court of the women, that's where he's in. And the court of the women is where they have, as we shared last time, the 13 chest or collection boxes lined up. We mentioned them. last time. And that's where he's speaking. And that's where he sits down and teaches. That's where the crowd is. The crowd's moving in and out, because that's the busy traffic place for people. And so he's doing that. So now, verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury, that's where the money was, court of the women, as he taught in the temple. So he's teaching. So when we read verse 12, he's back sitting in the temple as they sat when they taught, and he's teaching them. And he gives his thought. What are you telling them this time, Lord, after this woman? Verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So now, here we are, and you're saying, God, and he does, I am the light of the world, and I am that I am. Now hang on to that, because that's critical to understand. God happens to be God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, when everything is done, you have to start with you, go with you, and end with you, because you're always who you are, God. We are the created beings that have been given the privilege of being redeemed, saved, by you, the Creator. So God, we need to understand that. And hold your finger here a moment, and go with me, please, over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, picking up, please, directly, if I can, in verse 14. Remember, I'm going to read verse 6 a little bit. Moreover, he said, God, what did you say to Moses? I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, God, Moses wanted to know, how am I going to go to Pharaoh, and what am I going to say your name is? You got to have a name. What is your name? The end of verse 13. What is thy name? What shall I say unto the people of Pharaoh and the people? The answer, how God address us, give us a name. Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I'm not just anybody. I am. I'm it. I am. Do you understand that? Everyone understand that? That's what the Gospel of John's about. Do you understand? He is I am. That's what he is. So all the debates humans have and everything, do you understand I am? Okay, now, keep that in mind. I am that I am. So I'm back over to John. I am the light of the world, verse 12. I am that I am. And I am the light of the world. And we share together, just to remind ourselves, that in normal life, if we have eyes, we're able to see. We're able to see height and depth and length. We're able to see with our eyes 3D. We see 3D depth. We do. But we really don't see what we see. What we see is light. And you know, that's a physics law. If I turn out the light, everything's dark. You don't see anything. All you see is light. And light reflects everything about people, view, wind, sky, moon, stars, bugs, birds, flowers. It reflects. And what we're looking at is light reflecting what it sees. We are seeing the light reflecting light. And the light with the colors and dimensions and all of that, as we shared last time, is what you see. You don't see things. You see light. That's what you see. We think we see things, but you really don't. you see light. Now, if you turn out the light, it's very dark. You don't see anything in the darkness. Now, hang on to that. God gave light and darkness in our world to teach us, as we know from Genesis chapter 1, etc. So now, God, here we have light and we have darkness. Now, and we use it. We thank God for it. In the dark, we can't see. In the light, we can. Now, having said that, God, now how are we going to deal with you, the invisible God? How do we deal with the invisible? How do we handle you? And all through history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down the line through history to where we are now even. God, how does the world handle you? Well, there's religion, and we have Allah and all those different religions and things trying to talk about, trying to figure out somehow to talk about and think about an invisible God, which we can't see. Why can't we see? Because we are in the dark spiritually, and we can't see. So God, what have you done for us to understand and give us? You've been saying it all through history, Genesis all the way down. You have been telling us about your wonderful person and showing us by your word and works and power, crossing the Red Sea and all of such things, of your wonderful person. Now, how are you going to do it? I'm going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, a little baby. I'm going to be born so that you can see. You persons that I have made can see me, my person. The only way you can see my person is by my Son. I'm infinite, invisible. Everything in forever is in the middle of me. There's nothing outside of me. There's nothing other than me. Now, God, how are we going to handle that in our littleness, in your bigness? Well, I'm going to help you. And God, you sent your Son. Why did you send your Son? So that we would know what you've been saying all the way from Genesis, all the way down the line, all the things you've been revealing and doing with the world, the people, Israel. Now you're going to show us. That's right. I'm going to show you in my Son. And my Son will tell you, He is the light of the world. If you're going to see me, you'll have to see my Son. He's light. If you leave my Son out, you don't see. If I turn out all the lights and shut the shades and turn everything off, it's dark. If I leave Jesus Christ out of the picture, I have no light. And I can't see God. I can't understand. My Son, He is the light of the world. And in verse 12, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And light that leads to life. Jesus Christ is the light. When you come to the light, you find the life. Light reveals life. Life reveals light. Darkness conceals. So God, when we come to you in Christ, we're going to find we have light to get to you. And when we come to Him in the light, we see life. We have life in the light. That's right. The same as you do in the natural world in which you live, you will have understanding of who I am. When you see my Son, you will understand who I am. And thus I've come to give light, wonderful, wonderful light to the world. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, the rabbis, had a saying back then, those scholars and teachers of the law, the Sanhedrin, etc., that Jesus declared that the name of Messiah is light, unquote. The name of the Messiah is light. Now hang on. Because Jesus is saying to them, they're sitting there, Jesus, I am the light of the world. Only God can be light. You're saying you're God. Now that's what they've got. Now, they're going to go with that. That's going to be their thing. Now, what do we need to know? As we do that, we need to understand, where are the Pharisees and the scribes coming from? Where are they coming from? Where everyone else comes from. Now, back over, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And remember, we're told right up front, so we understand. Light has come into the world. And if I can, in chapter 1 of John, verse 5. The light, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And we shared together the verb comprehend, to overcome, to overtake, to go and be aggressive, to seize something. Light would like to seize the light and extinguish it, to put out the light, to get rid of the light. But light, all the darkness in the world wants to get rid of light. But all the darkness in forever can't put out light. And the darkest of nights could not put out that light. God, the world loves darkness. John chapter 3. You need to have it so you understand the argument and the problem. Reminding yourself that darkness would like to extinguish the light, because light reveals, darkness conceals. And they're in the dark. John chapter 3. And picking up, please, if I can, in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, N-O-T, is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness. They love darkness rather than light. Why do they love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds are evil. Hang on to that. They don't want to have it revealed where they're coming from. And not only do they love darkness, but, verse 20, everyone that doeth evil, that's in that mode of thinking, doing, and not wanting to be exposed, wages of sin is death. We don't want to be a sinner. We don't want to need a Savior. We don't want to be condemned that we are condemned already, and we don't want to have to think that I need to be saved. Without being saved, I'm lost. I'm a child of darkness. I don't want to see that. Hang on. Verse 20, chapter 3. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why don't they come? Lest their deeds or their works should be reproved, and they'd be convicted and convinced that they need a Savior. They don't want to do that. And thirdly, hold your finger here in John and go back to that which you are familiar with, Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5. And it's an old argument, age old, the way it works. If you can't win, then you find another way. If you can't win one way, you try to win another way. And since darkness cannot put out light, error cannot get rid of truth. Do you understand? Truth is truth. The law of gravity is the law of gravity, whether we like it or not. Now, if you want to be and have an adventure, you can go to MIT or something and study, and then you could spend the rest of your life figuring how to get rid of gravity. If you get rid of gravity, you might as well have never gone to spent the money at MIT. Because if you get rid of gravity, you are in trouble. We are all in trouble if you get rid of gravity. Understand? God, what are we going to do? Chapter 5 of Isaiah, verse 20, of all the woes, W-O-E, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Turn that upside down. And you don't have to be good. You can be bad, and we'll call bad good. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. Now, I hate the light. I don't want to live in the light. I don't want to have light revealed to me, so I see. So I love darkness. I hate the light. And I'm going to call darkness light. Then I can live with it. I'm going to turn it all upside down so I can turn the whole thing around. That's how I'm going to do it. And that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And so the toughness of living in darkness, I'm going to call sweet. I don't want to think of the bitterness of life without you, God. I don't want to know the awful awesomeness of darkness. So I'm going to call it light. And I'm going to get rid of the bitterness, and I'll call it sweet. It's the best thing in the world. You just made the CEO of Joe's Sweatshop. Good for you. And you've risen to the height until you go a little further, and then you're in trouble. Now, so here, back over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. So we have a little reminder of the Pharisees of where they're coming from. They're coming from the darkness, and they are in the dark, and they can't put out the light. They're trying to put out the light. That the light, what do you mean? They're trying to get rid of the Lord, the light. He's a problem to them. He's a problem. And they got to get rid of him somehow. So they, since they can't put it out. So in John chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 13, what are they going to do after he said that? The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Now they aren't going to quit. They're trying to kill him, and they're going to do it eventually, but not yet. And thou bearest record of thyself. The word record, witness, testimony. You bear record of yourself, and your record or testimony is not true. You said you were the light of the world. You yourself said it. Who are you to say that? Who are you to say that? That's a self-witness. And we know that you can't go by self-witness. You can't do that. Now, remember now, and over in chapter 6 of John, and in verse 42, they are conscious of his humanity. Not that he is God in the flesh. They aren't. They don't see that. They're in the dark. And if you reject them, there is no light to see it. John 6 and 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven? Don't we know this man, the born in Bethlehem from Nazareth? Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? They're very conscious of his humanity. They did not understand his deity. They didn't understand that. They didn't want to understand that. So therefore, in the light of that, over in the light, they said, prove it, prove it, prove it. And the Pharisees said that, and they had their argument. Their argument, the clause is super. That means you tell us, you give us proof. You have no proof. There is no proof. In your test, you have no right to say, I am the light of the world and expect anyone to believe it. You have no right to say that. And so therefore, we need, there's no personal confirmation. It's not true. You prove nothing in saying chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. You prove nothing by saying that. So that's their argument. Now, over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. He said, I am the light of the world. That's a self-testimony. Uh-huh. Over in chapter 5 of John, picking up, please. May I go, please, to verse 30. I can of my own self, said the Lord Jesus in his perfect humanity, do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness, record, witness, of myself, my witness is not true. So what they were saying is, you have no right to a self-witness. And the Lord said, I understand the law. I understand. So I myself, watch now, verse 31, if I bear record of my witness of myself, my witness is not true. They just said that. So they're making it a statement. God never said his witness wasn't true, and he never shouldn't be understood. He understood the law at two or three witnesses. He understood that a thing is established. Now, and you want to read now in the light of verse 31, verse 32. There is another that beareth witness, record of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Now there's another, this John the Baptist, but the God the Father. I'm not alone. I represent the Father. And if I alone and by myself said it, you could challenge me. But since I'm saying it, and I am saying it, I have the right to say it. Let's see how that works. Over in chapter 8. In chapter 8, please. Picking up, if I can, over in... And remember now, they said he can't represent himself, but he can represent himself because he doesn't just represent himself. That's all they do. They represent themselves. But he is different. Verse 14, that Jesus answered their thought, their accusation, their charge. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, though I bear record of myself, I am bearing record. And it's in the Greek language, third class, I am bearing it. If I bear record, even if I may not, even if I bear record of myself, even if I do it, I don't, but if I did, and when I do, verse 18, verse 14, though I bear record of myself, though I am bearing record of myself, yet my record is true. My witness is true. Now, how is that so? My witness is true. For my record is true, my witness, whether I speak, what I speak, when I say, my witness is always true. My record is always true. For I know whence I came. I am knowing, and I always am knowing. I am knowing where I come from, where I came from. John 1:1, the word was with God, the word was God, and the word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. I know where I came from. I do. And whether I go. I know where I'm going. In just a little less than 6 months, I'm going to go to the cross down there. In Jerusalem, they're going to crucify me here. That's what they're going to do. And then I'm going to ascend to the right hand of God, where I came from. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. Whence I came and whether I go. But you cannot tell. The word tell is the verb to know again. You cannot tell. You do not know whence I come and whether I go. You don't know where I came from. That's your problem. You don't know where I came from. You think you do, but you don't. You think I'm from Nazareth and Bethlehem. I'm more than that. I'm other than that. Do you understand? I came and stepped into a human body prepared for me in the Virgin Mary. I did that. I always am. I am that I am always. Now, here in verse 14, But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You don't know the answer to that. You can't answer that at all. And thus, you're unable to, you just don't know where I'm going even. You don't even understand why I'm here. Now, in verse 15, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Now, I recognize who he was, who he is. Remember, and hang on for a sec, John chapter 7, John 7 and verse 28, tie it together, John 7, 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple, and he taught, saying, in the temple, same place, you both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. I'm not come of myself at all. But he that sent me is true, whom you know not. So I'm telling you, I'm not here on my own. God sent me. And you know me. You said you know my brothers, my half-brothers and sisters. You said you know my mother. And you do. You know I've been from Nazareth. You know that. But you don't know me. You just don't know me. You never know me. You never have known me. So now, verse 15, you judge after the flesh, and so when you're all done judging after the flesh, it's only flesh. That's all it is. Because you are flesh, you are humans. You judge in a human way, in a human nature, and human nature is in darkness. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You're there, and you're trying to analyze and understand everything from darkness. And to boot, you've turned the thing all upside down. And so the world with great authority and lectures and philosophies and religions go and push all kinds of things in the name of darkness, in the name of light, which is really darkness. That's what you do. And here you are doing what you're doing, and you want me to look at you and think you understand. And you are judging in the light of your flesh, and that's all you can do. You can't do it another way. You can't if you are blind. Physically blind is one thing. Spiritually blind is horrible. Physical blind you work out, but not physically blind. Spiritually blind is bad. If you were physically blind, could you tell me that this is red? Could you tell me the color of this if you were physically blind? You could feel it. You still can't tell me the color. You can't tell me the color. Now, so your judgment is of the flesh. I judge no man. I judge no one. I'm not judging anybody. Huh, hang on now. They're judging. They're busy judging. But you aren't. No, God, I'm not. But we've got to put that together. John chapter 3 and in verse 17. God, what did you tell us? John 3 and 17. For God, remember, God so loved the world, verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But for God sent not N-O-T, his Son into the world. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn, to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then you have verse 18, 19, where we read, men love darkness. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to get saved. Back over now, knowing that, that's what he came for. He came to save. He came to show a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God, who's able to save to the uttermost. John chapter 12. And for the people say, well, you see, he doesn't judge, so we can't judge anybody. Whoops, wrong. John chapter 12, picking up, please, in thought, in verse 12 and 47, to get the flavor of it. And if any man, 12 and 47, John, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Okay. He that rejecteth me, John 3, 18, 19, men love darkness rather than light. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, I am the light of the world, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, I am the light of the world, and you reject it. The same shall judge him at that day. For I have not spoken of myself, I didn't do it myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So you want to blame, here I am, I'm telling you I'm the light of the world, and I'm not alone. Back over to John 8. And I'm not alone. And I warned you, you guys had just been sitting here during this Feast of the Tabernacles. I warned you, chapter 7, verse 24 for a moment. 7 and 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. I warned you not to judge, and you're busy judging. And you have no light. You don't even know what you're talking about. And you're accusing me of telling you something I have no right to tell you. If you understood who I am, I have every right to tell you. Every right in the forever, I have the right. Now, so in the light of that, understanding that, verse 16. Yet if I judge, I may or may not judge. I didn't judge the woman. I could have, but I didn't. I didn't need to. Verse 16. If I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. So I want you to know that I'm not alone, and my judgment is going to be true. Whatever I do, whether I judge or say something or whatever I do, and I am not alone. I want you to know. You said, verse 17, as it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. In your law, notice it says your law. Your law. Why would you say your law? Isn't it the law? You said your law. Because why? Well, what did the Pharisees do, among others? They went and claimed the law as their law. And they took the law, took it unto themselves, with the Talmud and all of that. And they took the law and took it to themselves and said, the law of God, what happened to God? God's out there. We took the law of God and we brought it into ourselves and we have, it's our law. What's the wonderfulness of being our law? We can do with it as we wish. If it's ours. Remember with the car. If it's your car, you can do whatever. But if you're borrowing a car, you've got to be careful because it isn't your car. It isn't your law, but he says that. Your law, he's going to get them. Your law says, as written in your law, the testimony of two men is true. So here you are, you have a law, and you're claiming that. Over to chapter 7 again. Because they had just done all this stuff with them, but do you think people learn? No. Chapter 7, verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? What are you doing? You're doing something that's against the law, failing to understand the law, and failing to what? I gave the law. The law of Moses is mine. I gave the law of Moses. On the Mount Sinai, who do you think gave the Ten Commandments? I did. You're claiming that law. Oh, we are. Over, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 2. Romans in chapter 2. If I may, Romans 2. Now, the Jews, here's the Pharisees, the scribes, Sadducees, here they are. And they're doing what they do. Now, Paul, we're a Pharisee, and you're going to spell out, what did the Pharisees, what did you guys do? Lord, how could they tell you these things? Why did the Pharisees want to kill you? Romans chapter 2, and in verse 17. Behold, thou art called the Jew, and restest in the law, and maketh thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and being confident, and art confident, verse 19, that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them that are in darkness. But you're in darkness, you guys. But you're going to say, we call light darkness and darkness light. So we're the people of light, but actually we're darkness. Think of all the religions and stuff out there in the name of whatever. Wow. Anyway, so now, in verse 20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. I got to move quickly now, over if I can, over to verse 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, thou breakest the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, the nations, through you, as it is written. The nations are used because of your unbelief, which is why we shared in 600 AD. Remember, the Jews had no testimony. The church had no testimony, so to speak. So in the darkness, that's when Mohammed rose up and the religions. And there was no light to stop them. Just darkness. Just darkness. And it rose up in great power. Now, hang on. Comparatively. Hang on now. In Romans chapter 2. If I may slide down to pick it up. Oh, to verse 28. For he is a Jew which is one outwardly. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. It isn't in the flesh. They were judging after the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So now the witness, back over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, picking up, please. As it is, verse 17, as written in your law, the testimony of two men is true. And you'll remember Deuteronomy 19, etc. 19, chapter 17 also. Remember there that it has to be two witnesses, two or three witnesses, and one witness alone can't do it. And the law says you have to have two. Well, by the way, I have two. I am two. Verse 18, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and by the way, the Father that sent me, he beareth witness with me. We are bearing witness in and of and by ourselves. The Father which sent me is bearing witness also. Over, if you would, to remember now, I am, here it is in verse 18, first two words, I am, back up in verse 12, I am the light of the world. I am one. I am the I am. I am I am, the only I am that is. And since therefore I am, there's no way I can do anything. I swear by myself. I have. Why not? There's no one else. There's no other God, no other Savior, just me. So if you want me to swear and take an oath, where shall I take it? There is no one else, just me. I myself. Now, thus in John chapter 8. Oh, go, hold, do a little more. Boy, chapter 5. Chapter 5. If I can. In chapter 5, would you pick up, please, with me in verse 37. And the Father, remember now, you're tying together verse 18 of chapter 8. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that beareth witness with me. John chapter 5, verse 37. The Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice any time, nor seen his shape. That's the trouble with you guys. You don't understand God. You don't understand his wonderful, infinite invisibleness. You don't understand God is distinctly different. He's holy. That's why there's no distance with God. It's difference, as we shared. So now, God having said that a little bit, keeping in mind, I and my Father, John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, picking up, please, simply, quickly, verse 30. Very simple, six words. I and my Father are one. The two of us, at the mouth of two witnesses. Here we are. Now, what are you going to do? I am who I am. I'm always who I am. I can be no other than who I am. Wow. So now, God, here we are, and they bear witness, and I have to tell you, unfortunately, good, it's only 11:30, so we're all set. Time is gone. I want to set a good example for the speakers at the conference. So, what am I going to tell you? I got to tell you something. Hang on. Go with me, please, over, if you would. Over to 1 John. First John chapter 5. I hope you got a little bit. Section, it's a wonderful section. And God just stands up like this and says, listen, I'm God. Everyone pay attention. No matter what the Pharisees say, no matter what people say, who are you to be God? I am. I am. Who are you to be a believer? Who are you to say? Wait a minute. Shh, don't tell anybody. Over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. You'll pick it up. I could say it, but you won't get it. John chapter 5. Picking up, please, in what did you say, God? What was their problem? What did they know? Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, and hitherto and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Did you Pharisees know that? Absolutely. We knew what he said. He said he's God. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Not because he's a man, but because he's God. God in Christ gave himself, his perfect humanity on Calvary's cross, so that we could know his humanity? No. To know his deity. To what? 1 John 5, you don't have to turn there. 1 John 5, 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath zero, no life. These things have I written unto you, so that you're able to say, the Spirit of God's wonderful, consistent, 24-hour-a-day ministry, you're able to say, my Father. And you're able to say, of a truth, that's the whole thing with the church, early church, what was it about the choir, about the music? No. When they went there, even to the city of Corinth, let alone anywhere else, Of a truth, said the unsaved that came into the building, of a truth, God is in you. God. What is the argument of the Pharisees? God in Christ. What are you doing? God in you? When you receive Him as your Savior. And that's your testimony. I said, I don't believe. Who are you to say that? I'm not. But by the authority of the one resident and president in my heart, He confirms at the mouth of two free witnesses, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that I am a child of God, that the believing heart is a child of God. Do you understand? But we don't see it. That's because you love darkness rather than light. If you were saved, you would have no problem. But when you're in the dark, flesh, carnal, it's hard to, I don't understand that. Never hear shake your head like that. You want to understand it. You want to know it. It's wonderful. Ephesians 5:8. You are children of L-I-G, what? You finish it? L-I-G-H-T. Are you not children of light if you're saved? It says, I know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. He's my Savior. You should be able to say that. It's a wonderful thing. Our Father and God, we thank You for all of Thy grace and patience, and thank You for the help these dear people encourage their heart. Thank You for them. And God, thank You for all that You're doing. And God, if You should tarry and we should live, all that lies ahead, thank You for it. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing one.